Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Aren't you thankful for that wonderful truth that we have? He walks with me and He talks with me. Always been faithful. Praise the Lord for it. Matthew 24, go ahead and find your place. You can remain seated for right now. I'm not announcing anything brand new when I use the word coronavirus. Everybody in here right now knows what I'm talking about. Amen. The COVID-19. The 19 standing, of course, for the year 2019 originated then. It's amazing the lingering effect that it has had. Amen. The effect that it has had and continues to grow and is affecting our very own lives. This past week, as you know, I wasn't here Wednesday night. Congratulations to Jared and McKenna. They did well winning some competition at the Georgia Association of Christian Schools in McDonough. We were down there celebrating that time with them and trying to encourage them in it. We were there with several hundred people. And folks, from Wednesday night when you all met here last, we were at People's Baptist that night, to where we are today, life changed rapidly and dramatically among us. All you had to do is look at the news and see what was going on. My phone was constantly dinging and buzzing and blowing up with people telling me this is what's new, this is what's new, this is what's new, as was hers. And everybody there knew what was going on. Everybody was aware of it. They were canceling future events. And as you were shoulder to shoulder with people in this bowl, it felt like at that time, this germ bowl, and it wasn't, but just how it felt. You know what I kept hearing over and over and over again? I kept hearing the words from people's mouths, the end of the world. The end of the world. Now let me just say right now, and I'll reiterate this in a moment, I do not know that this is the end of the world, nor do you. And I'm not suggesting that it is. Boy, this sure is some good reminders to us right now. I want us to study some things together today from God's Word in reference to this, of what I'm calling today a worried world. A worried world. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 24, go ahead and join me by rising to your feet, please, as we honor the public reading of God's Word. There's a few verses that I want us to read and look at and study today, and I don't intend on being very long in the message, but there's some things that I want us to know, and I want you to be in prayer today, because what I stated a few moments ago, I truly believe with all my heart, there's people here that need to be saved today. There's people here who need to get right with God today. And those of us who says it's not me that needs to get right with the Lord in whatever way, it is you. It is I. That's the first place to look whenever we say it's not me. It probably is. It probably is. Look at the scripture with me. The 24th chapter, beginning in verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the building of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? He goes on to say in the verse after this question mark, He says, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse number 3 says, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him, that is Jesus, privately saying, tell us, think about that, tell us, they're asking. Tell us, they say, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Maybe you should highlight that in your copy of God's Word. And of the end of the world. Pick it up in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines," and look at this word, "pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginnings of sorrow." These are the beginning of sorrow. Now, Holy Father, I come before you once more in Jesus' name, and I'm asking for your help. I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would move in this place. Touch your people and touch your preacher. Do a work that thou only can. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing with me. You may be seated. In my lifetime, I have never seen more of a hysteria that is going on in our nation and in our world right now than what we are experiencing at this moment in the United States of America. I mean, it is absolute hysteria. So much of it, it's mind-boggling to a certain degree. In the verse number 7 I just shared with you, you notice that word pestilence that is used. All through the Bible, we'll learn that God uses that word pestilence. It's very prevalent in the Old Testament. If you study this word, you can go into the book of Jeremiah and you will find that word used time after time after time again. We find it here in our text again. The word pestilence that is used here, it is making a direct reference to disease, especially a disease that causes death. A disease that causes death is what it's referring to. Now, while I mentioned a few minutes ago, while I and many of you as well, we may have some varying opinions about what's going on right now, and I do. I have strong opinions on it. About where all this came from and how that it is affecting our lives in such a serious way. As I said, though, it does not change the fact, not one bit, not for one second, that we are faced with this right now. Coronavirus is a pestilence. Amen. It is one that is a disease that is causing the death of people, especially of a certain age. It is causing the death of people. I could not get by this thought this week. As the week continued to develop, I sat in my hotel room Friday morning and trying to put the pieces together of what God really had for us. And asking God, I didn't go to the morning competition Friday morning. I stayed in the room and asking the Lord, God, what would you have for my life during this time? What would you have for Linwood Baptist Church? And I could not get this, and what was ringing in my ear over and over and over again that I had heard the day before so many people say, even the people on TV say those words, the end of the world. I pulled out my Bible and I began studying God's Word about this matter. This passage of Scripture spoke to my heart. Now, when we talk about this coronavirus, when we talk about this pestilence that is facing our nation right now and is affecting your life, it is affecting your life. What are some truths that we need to learn from it as we move forward right now? There's four particular things that I want to draw your attention from God's Word. I want us to get them in our heart, and I want us to keep them in our heart as we go out into this world today. Think with me, first of all, about how there is a request of foreknowledge that the disciples were asking here. A request of foreknowledge. Look in the Scripture again at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple." He is leaving the house of God in Jerusalem. He's leaving the house of God. He says, "And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not?" He says, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone." Amen. "One stone upon another that shall not be turned down." What exactly is Christ meaning? What does he mean when he says there's not going to be one stone that is left turned down? Well, what Christ is saying is he is walking out of the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem. What he is saying is all of this work that is going on, all of this construction, all of this, all of that, the building of the house of God that is going on right now, don't put all of your stock, don't put all of your attention, don't put all of your affection on all of that. at this moment. He is saying none of these things have any permanency to them. They are not a permanent thing whatsoever. He's saying the day is coming when even this that you see and you classify as sacred ground, the day is coming when every one of these blocks, every one of these stones, they're going to be disturbed. They're going to be literally turned upside down. I stood just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, at the observation point overlooking this spot where Christ made this very statement on the west side of Jerusalem. I stood right there and I looked at it. And all I could think about was this verse of Scripture where Christ said, not one of these stones shall be left unturned. You know why? Because of years that has passed and because of current excavation, there's not one of those stones where Christ made this declaration that has not been disturbed. It has not been turned upside down. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that Christ on this day in Matthew 24, He made a prophetic statement. He's saying the day is coming when these stones that you believe are so sacred, these stones that you cannot imagine ever being shaken, one day are going to be shaken. They're going to be turned upside down. And here we are now 2,000 years later, and I witnessed it with my own eyes. And I showed you a picture of it, of how those stones have been turned upside down. If Christ made such a prophecy at that point, and as we know and as we study it right now, we know that that prophecy has come true. If Christ did that then, why should we doubt that any other prophecy that He has made is also going to come true? You can rest assured that what Jesus says, what God says, it will happen. Look further at verse number 3, and the Bible says right here, and as He sat, that is Jesus, as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus right now, He has left the temple area, right there at the Temple Mount. He's left the temple and He's gone out of Jerusalem and He has gone now onto the Mount of Olives. That special place to Christ, the one that He did so many wondrous things that we study in God's Word, the one that He ascended from. Acts chapter 1 teaches us that, and the one also He's going to return to when He comes back to set up His throne. We're going to study that in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, as soon as we can. But it is that special place. Jesus has left Jerusalem, the city, the inner walls, and He has now gone to the Mount of Olives. He is sitting on the Mount of Olives. Now, He is there, and it's then that His disciples come to Him. Pick it up further in verse number 3. The disciples came into Him privately. They come into Him in a private setting. Now, there's a lot I could say about all of this Scripture right here, but they came to Him in a private setting because they wanted to know some inside information. They wanted some private information, so they came to Him privately thinking that because they were coming to Him privately, that He would tell them what they wanted to know. Look further, they came to Him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? They're saying, when is this going to happen? When are these stones going to be turned? They understood clearly what was being said. They understood that the day is coming when Christ was going to shake the world, and they knew what He was saying, and we want to know when this is going to happen. And they're asking Him right here, tell us when these things are going to be, and which shall be the sign, underscore that word, the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world. The disciples were desiring some foreknowledge. Do you see it? Some foreknowledge of what was about to happen. They wanted to know, they wanted to have Miss Maxine, they wanted to have a peek into the future. They wanted to know, Lord, when are You going to bring all this to pass? They wanted some foreknowledge. Is it not true that there ain't one of us in here right now that wouldn't like to have a little bit of foreknowledge about what's going on in this whole situation? I'm not trying to make a bigger deal out of this. I think a lot of this stuff has been escalated intentionally. I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but I do believe that without a doubt, but that does not mean it's not real. That does not mean at this point that it is not affecting our lives. It does not mean that this is a contagious thing that we need to take precautions in and we need to be careful about, hence what we've just talked about. I'm not saying that we don't do that at all. But every one of us would love to know, when is this going to end? The uneasiness that's in all of our hearts, we want to know, when is this going to end? There's just something in our flesh that just desires to know what really is next. Am I going to have to live like this for long? Am I not going to be able to go to school or to work for long? Am I not going to be able to worship under normal circumstances for long? You and I, there's very little difference between us and the disciples here. They were saying, Lord, give us some foreknowledge of what's going on. Well, you know what? God has given us some foreknowledge. He continues to tell us some things in His Word. Let's look at it together, for there isn't only the request of foreknowledge, but notice the revelation of fury as well. Now, when Jesus or the disciples came to Jesus and asked them, Lord, tell us, give us some foreknowledge, tell us what's going on, I don't know that they were fully prepared for what Christ was going to relay to them. He shot pretty straight with them in some areas without telling them a lot of details, but yet He did tell them some things. Look in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know what Jesus is really saying? He's saying, watch out for those people. There's going to be all kinds of people out there that will deceive you in your life. Jesus is saying there's politicians out there that's going to deceive you. He's telling us that there's religious false teachers that are out there that are going to deceive you. There's probably some form of crooked media out there that is going to deceive you. May I make a statement to us right now? That as well has not changed. There are people in this world right now that are out to deceive you and to deceive I. You don't have to look far to find it. The Lord willing, soon I'm going to do a study on false prophets and I'm going to do a study on those that we need to stay away from. Teachings that we need to stay away from. Out of the book of Jude, I'm studying that right now and looking, Lord willing, to do that soon. But there are people out there who are going to deceive you about the truth. There are those of us that have been raised knowing the truth, knowing what is right, knowing what is wrong, knowing what we are not to do, what we are to do, but yet we in our flesh, we in our weakness, we in our defiance, we in our easily deceived minds decide that we are going to touch it. We are going to see what we can really get out of it. We are being deceived by the wrong influences, whether it be a politician, a media person, a false teacher, or somebody we should not have in our lives, as we discussed a few weeks ago. We are being deceived. I am telling you upon the authority of God's Word, God said, do not allow people to deceive you. He's saying, put all your eggs in the basket of Me, Christ. Do not allow anybody to deceive you, because there's plenty of those people out there who desperately would give anything to deceive you, and the reason they're deceiving you is because they're after money or they're after power. They're after something of that nature. And that's what we see in our world as well. People that will deceive us to try to gain money or to gain power. Do not be deceived by anything or anyone that come into our path. Look further at verse number 6 though. Jesus says right here, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. Think about that. But the end is not yet. Verse number 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning. The Bible tells us they are the beginning of sorrow. He is telling us that all this stuff has to take place. All of this stuff has to take place before His master plan can unfold. Before His full plan can be brought to realization. Don't ever forget this. We must always remember that God always has a plan. God always has a plan. No matter where you're at in your life right now, no matter where we as a church or we as a nation are right now, God always has a plan. Amen. He knows exactly what's going on. And yes, He has it well under control. When we see and hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and all of these other stuff, this other stuff, it could very well be, understand this, a sign. That's what the Bible's telling us. A sign that the end is near. A sign that God may be wrapping up His program for the age. It could be a sign that we're about to go home. You see, the disciples went to Jesus requesting some foreknowledge. And God talked to him about it. There was a revelation of fury. We must also understand that when we think about these things, we must see as well that the disciples learned in a hurry, that there was a reaction of fear. A reaction of fear. There was fear that came upon and in their little hearts. Now, I want you to look at it more in prevalent state of where we're at right now. Verse number 6, it uses the word trouble. Do you see it right there? It uses the word trouble. It is clearly telling us that when all this stuff happens, there will be trouble that is brought to our hearts. There will be fear that is brought to hearts. A reaction of fear. I have never seen a reaction of fear like what I'm seeing right now. I've never seen it. There's a problem there. And I want you to listen to me. There is a problem there. I have never seen a reaction of fear like what I am seeing it right now. And much of what we're seeing is absolutely ridiculous. I'll say it again. It's absolutely ridiculous. You say, what are you talking about? In a neighboring county, in a neighboring state of ours, this past Thursday, there was two families shopping at the Walmart. And a literal fist fight broke out between the two families over the toilet tissue. Maybe you saw it. It escalated to the point that one of the families pulled out, they apparently were going to use their wine to have a good time when they were quarantined, I don't know, pulled out one of their wine bottles and shattered it over the head of the other dude's family. Police were called. People were arrested. Probably felonies on records now because of hysteria that is absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Again, I don't want you to think that I'm saying ignore this. I've made it clear. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there ought to be some things that we do not have a reaction of fear as a child of God over. People breaking out like this, fist fights breaking out, wine bottles getting shattered all over. But hey, the good thing is they couldn't drink that wine. You know, thank God for that. The last thing we needed is another drunk to be running around during the middle of all this mess. They couldn't do that. So thank God for that. Amen. They couldn't do that. Just hysteria that is out there. Things that are just totally ridiculous. I honestly know people who are so upset about this. They are so much on edge about this right now that they are literally on the verge of a nervous breakdown. They cannot eat. They cannot sleep. I'm serious. They cannot put their minds to rest because they are scared to death about what is next, about what is about to happen next. You know what people are really scared of? Ultimately, they are afraid to die. They are afraid to die. They don't want to die. Are you afraid to die today? Is there the slightest bit of fear in your heart? A reaction of fear when you think of death and what is after death? Just a little bit even of fear that may be there. There are people out there now that are scared to death. Why? Because when they think of death, they have no hope. They have no hope. They have no confidence of what lies after death. They are scared to die and they have no hope. Think with me for just a second about this. Think with me now. things are this bad right now, I want your attention right now. Give me your attention. If things are this bad right now, it is merely a drop in the bucket to what it's going to be at the rapture of the church, when the church is called out of this world and the tribulation begins. We hadn't seen anything. This world hadn't seen anything yet about what it's going to be like. When every bit of righteousness and every bit of godliness, the glue right now that is holding all of this thing together, is taken out of this world, the believers are gone. Unrighteousness then will have unfettered attack, unfettered reign upon them to do whatever they want to do at that point. And you think it's crazy at Walmart now. You think the news media is nuts now. You think the politicians are scratching their head trying to figure out how to develop this or how to get this done or how to get supplies here or there or whatever. You ain't seen anything, friend. I'm so grateful to God that I won't be here. I settled my account many years ago. I remember that night I bowed my knee in Shelby, North Carolina, and gave my heart to Christ, and I am secure in Him as a result of that decision that I made that day. Ma'am, sir, you think fear is upon you now? Imagine what it's going to be like when you wake up one day and your loving spouse is gone and you've been left behind. Young lady, young man, you think there's a level of fear right now? Imagine what it's going to be like when one day you realize mom and dad are gone. They were believers. They've gone on to heaven and you are left all alone in this world during the most horrific time that there could be. You're left all alone. You, sir, you, ma'am, that have sat in services just like this one, you've heard the gospel proclaimed time and time and time again from the Holy Word of God, from this pulpit right here. What's it going to be like when you realize for the very first time that you've been left behind? Every one of those messages that the preacher preached, every one of those songs that were ever sung, every time you open the Bible, you are going to be reminded of every opportunity that you were given to give your heart to Christ. Amen. But you didn't do it because you think in your own mind, God will not judge me. God will have to judge and apologize to everybody through the ages if He does not judge you for rejecting Christ. I cannot imagine what the fear is going to be like when all of that fury breaks loose. I can't even begin to fathom the mass chaos. And we're just seeing a little bit of it right now. Just a little bit. No, pay attention to me. We're just seeing just a little bit of it right now, of what we're experiencing. But you see, folks, the fact of the matter is, it just doesn't have to be that way. For we not only see in the scripture right now that there was a request of foreknowledge, there's a revelation of fury, there's a reaction of fear, but there must be a reinforcement of faith as well. Amen. There's got to be a reinforcement of faith. Everything that is going on in our life and in our world right now, the child of God has got to have some faith reinforced within ourselves. Look at the scripture again a little bit further. Verse number 6 says, "See that ye be not troubled." You see that right there? "See that ye be not troubled." Now, I'm not trying to act all strong. We were talking about this a minute ago. I'm not trying to act all big and bad. But I'm telling you, I'm just not worried all that much about this. Amen. I'm just not worried all that much about this at all. There is a peace that is within my soul. I can't explain to you, but a peace down inside of me right now that everything is going to be just fine. I have hope today. I have hope because I settled it all years ago. And I understand I shouldn't be shocked. I shouldn't be surprised when we're faced with circumstances like this. God has put a hope within me. I take precautions. But listen, if I were to contract this virus, and if I were to become ill, and if I were to die from it, then that would obviously be the plan of God And that would be all right. That would be all right. I am not saying this is the end of the world. I am not saying that things are wrapping up. I think in a couple of weeks things will go back to normal. But what I will tell you is that if it is the end of the world, there ought to be a joy within the heart of the child of God, because by sundown we could be home with Jesus. And there is no reason for us to live in fear for the believer. My concern today is you, though. You lost friend. Come on, me. The Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I said it a few moments ago. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power. There will be some strength within the heart of the child of God. Of love. There ought to be some love within the heart of the child of God. Amen. And of a sound mind. Here's what I want you to understand. If you have fear in your heart because of what's going on right now, in any level and in any form, if you have fear about what's going on, any level and any form, you need to understand that fear is not of God. It is not of God. I'm telling you simply this. If you have fear about what's going on, there is something seriously, spiritually wrong with you. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm saying there's something that's just not right. Something that just isn't right. That fear is like a pain to you. It's telling you something's wrong. It's entirely possible, though, that you have a fear within your heart right now because you may not be saved. You may be lost. I'm just a gospel preacher. I don't think this is the last time I'll ever preach. But if it is, I want my last message to be that of redemption, that of salvation, that of a gospel that can change your life forever. If you have fear today, it is not of God. The world is worried. There ought to be a peace within the heart of a child of God. And if you don't have that peace, then it is a telltale sign of your position with God. Sister Mickey's playing. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are